Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 255 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Hello.
As weekends of football go, that wasn't far off perfect. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't a million mile away.
Pretty solid weekend of results for us.
Yeah, obviously we didn't get to do one before the Stoke game because that was when I was working till 3 a.m. all the time. But we did our predictions for that. Everyone went for a win. We did win. KC, you had 1-0, which has put you in a healthy lead. So, Chef Wednesday. I was really nervy going into this one. I mean, I'm always a bit of a pessimist, but it must have been getting through the fan base. One, I saw a lot of it on Twitter, and two, even you went for a draw.
I mean, just based off the form they're in at the moment, it's weird coming up against second bottom, who are probably the second or third most informed team in the division.
Yeah.
Is an odd proposition. Couple that with a few trips to Hillsborough, which haven't gone so well.
Yeah, its record there is not great, is it?
I imagine it's probably a bit mixed, but you know, I'm thinking of things that happened in 2012, you know, 2013, around that time. You got stuff like the Matt Smith incident and all the things that were going on around that.
I was going to say, because I remember that we got beat 6-0. I've actually forgotten he got sent off about a minute after coming on, didn't he?
Yep.
I'd forgotten about that bit.
I think you had Adam Reach scoring a great goal against us, which was then
that was the one all.
Was that the one where Mateusz Klich also scored a really good goal?
Yeah, that's that one. So there is, now that we can look back on it and laugh, there is an amazing video from, I think it's from the Leeds end of that goal, where Leeds fans go, way, when he hits it. And then he drops in, and you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. But yeah, I had a bit of pessimism going into this. And although I'd say we were the better side throughout, for the entire first half, you couldn't have said it was great.
In that regard, I was quite lucky. I was unable to watch the game as it happened Friday night. But I did look around the 40-minute mark at the statistics, which said Leeds have had near 70% possession and one shot.
Yeah, you had to catch up after and watch it again, didn't you? But yeah.
At the time I was looking, going, you know what? That doesn't sound like a great half of football.
Yeah, and to be honest, it wasn't. I wouldn't say we were ever in massive danger, though, either. Like, I thought that we were fine. And then the main thing, I had a stroke of half-time. Well, about 10 seconds added on. Something which Chef Wednesday went mental about. There was a minimum of 4 minutes added on, and we scored after about 4 minutes 10. After their goalkeeper had taken roughly 50 seconds on a goal kick. So it was perfectly reasonable. But Leeds worked the ball out to Firpo on the left side of the box, who puts in a fantastic cross. Like, you couldn't ask for a better ball in. Bamford's movement is good, and he beats the defender. If it was a Leeds defender, you'd think he got beat a little bit too easily. But Bamford's movement is good, and he just gets there, puts his right foot on it. No, doesn't try to do anything complicated with it, just makes sure to keep it down and finishes well.
Yeah, it's quite a nice number nine's goal, is that you quite like seeing Bamford get. I think you might have been generous there. I think if a Leeds player had defended Bamford the way their fullback did for that goal, I'd be absolutely fuming. Because he looks like three times to check he's on his shoulder. And then he's just not.
Yeah.
And he does what any self-respecting defender does. He screams for offside.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a very funny offside appeal when someone is that blatantly not offside. Like, sometimes they're close and you go, oh, well, it's worth the appeal. But that one, he was touching him and he was in front when the ball comes in. Leeds were much better in the second half. Complete control all the way through. The only criticism would be that they maybe should have got one more. But the goal itself, a long ball played forward, which we did a little bit more in this game. I could hear my dad being happy, even though I wasn't watching the game with him. They were sort of squeezing up, and Ampadu was finding a lot of room to play his longer passes. This stat might not be exactly right. I think that this will probably have been on All Stats Aren't We if I've heard it, but I think he got 15 out of 20 long passes, which is pretty good going. But this goal itself came from just Melier knocking it long. Bamford, really good knockdown. Rutter, first time through ball for Nanto, goes through, and just really the sort of unerring confidence you wanted when he had that one against Leicester.
Yeah.
No cutting inside, no messing about. No, just finish it well, and he scores 2-0, and from then on, the game was done.
Yeah, I mean, up to this point, you've really only had Melier's made that save from close range in the first half, and that's about it in terms of...
Yeah, I was going to leave the Melier thing to the end, because I was going to play as Melier and Ampadu after this game, but we'll... Mm. As it's come up, that save in the first half from Melier. I can't remember the name of the player that he saved it from, but it was a con, and it like fell to that defender. I'll find his name, Gassama. And he doesn't, from that distance, you normally if it gets saved, you'd say it's probably not a great finish. But I don't think it was that long of a finish. I think it was just an excellent piece of goalkeeping. And probably the best save I've seen him make in a long time, because he's made other good saves, but that's the first one in a while where I really didn't think he had a shot at saving it, and he stopped it. It wasn't quite as good, but can you remember that one he did away at Sheffield United, where when we won 1-0 late through Bamford, but they had a chance earlier in the game where it was like unmarked, Teyard's out, it's a goal, and he gets out and flicks it wide. It was one of them saves that, like, if that goes in, it becomes very the Huddersfield game. They can sit in even more. They can just take time out of the game, and it's really hard to get out of it. That save could prove absolutely massive for the rest of this season, as could Nanto getting my second goal.
Yeah, it was like I say, it was a really nicely, confidently taken finish by Nanto. Just really calm, just sort of strokes it across the keeper and into the far corner. Nice little bit of build up play as well. So it kind of a nice bit of link up play. And
I think it was better build up play than it got sort of credit for at the time. I thought it was a really nice little move. Everything being first time always helps. It's so much harder to defend when you're able to play the passes quickly. I mean, it's quite often, especially at Elland Road, that's the criticism you hear when it isn't going well. You will hear a lot of people saying the word quicker.
Yeah.
And not unreasonably so some of the time. Some of the time it is, like when we're 3-0 up and you're like, no, just take your time. But yeah. Now, it was in the second half, I don't remember them having a real chance at all.
The two chances I remember, there's one from, is it about 25 yards out that sort of just that dips, but it's just over the bar. And then there's the bouncing shot that Melier sort of parries.
You see, I wasn't thinking about that as a big chance because I'd forgot that was the thing. That was where Melier had his fuck up on it. I mean, it was not a great shot. I know it's bouncing, but there's no power on it and he spills it and... Was that was Ampadu getting him out of jail as well, wasn't it? Getting off the line. There's a thing with goalkeeping mistakes. I forgot that one. If it had led to a goal, I wouldn't have forgot it. You do want a bit of luck as a keeper, and I think as much as like Melier last season was objectively shit, he was. He's a young keeper, and he also, because he was in the Premier League, he got every time he screwed up, it was a goal. And in the Championship, you do get to screw up and occasionally get away with it.
Yeah, it was one of those where he had the luck on his side, didn't he, for that one? Yeah. Because at that point then as well, if that goes in, then you've got Chef Wednesday, he'll just be chucking bodies forward then to try and get something. But yeah, that sort of that aside, there wasn't a whole lot to worry about. We played quite a bit of decent football and probably should have had a third as well.
Yeah, the other big chance was like Nonto played a nice little through ball for Somerville, who hits it well into the corner, and Beadle in the Chef Wednesday goal, who also looked pretty good, to be fair to him, throws himself to his left and makes a really good save. When I first saw it in real time, I said it was one of them where it's a really good save, but Somerville shouldn't give him a chance to save it. And then after that, I've watched it back. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that finish. It's just one of those rare pieces of genuinely world-class goalkeeping. Unbelievable save, fair play. And I believe he's another one that's on loan from Brighton, isn't he? So they've got...
Yeah.
We've got that Rushworth as well, who's quite good. Although he was shit against us. After we spent the pod talking about how he's a decent goalkeeper, we then had a bad game against us. I did say, and I want to do it again, I want to give all the praise in the world to Ethan Ampadu again. I just think everything that he does, whether it's the simple thing, if the long balls that have led to chances are great, but he just seems completely unfazed by this entire situation. Pressure game after pressure game after pressure game. And he's just relaxed and calm, does the simple things well. When we're in trouble, when someone makes a mistake, he's always really good at reading the game to cover. And I thought in this game, he was outstanding. As loved as I was to agree with Andy Hinchcliffe when he gave him man at match, because normally Andy Hinchcliffe is an idiot. I thought he was the best player on the pitch in this game.
Yeah, he just exudes calm, doesn't he? You know, I think we said before, when you kind of go back to the Leicester game, that you looked at the struggle that we were having getting the ball up the pitch, and we sort of just had that moment where it was, right, fine, I'll take it over halfway then. Like, I will drive us forward. And I think he has that ability to kind of either try and grab the game by the scruff of the neck and make something happen, which I know it's a bit tougher to do from defence, but, you know, in that case, it was, well, we can't get out, so I will get us out.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's just being a really good defender. Like, that's all it takes sometimes. And because you had a couple of moments where, like, Joe Roden had that moment of, I think it leads to one of their chances in the second half, where he's sort of dribbling diagonally about 25 yards out, goes shoulder to shoulder with someone and seems to hit the deck a bit too easily. And I think, you know, everyone has those moments, but you, every now and again with Joe Roden, you see it where his decision-making is not entirely there when he's under a bit of pressure.
Which is a nitpick. It's just in comparison.
With Ampadu, it all just... Everything's just very measured, and yeah, it's just... He plays football as if he's saying, don't worry, guys, I've got this.
Yeah, and he does. And, you know, obviously Liam Cooper is captain and will remain so for the rest of his season, and he should be, but you just watch Ampadu and think, well, if you're it for the next few, if for several years after this, I think I'm good with that.
Yeah, it's to be honest, it's quite nice, because I think, you know, you looked at what used to be the quote unquote leadership group of Ayling, Cooper, Bamford, Dallas, and the inevitable is going to happen to them sooner or later. You know, obviously Ayling's already gone. We're not sure on what will happen with Cooper. We're not sure what happens with Dallas. You know, you're looking at Bamford's probably sticking around a bit longer, but especially with what happened to us last season, you want to see a few of those players kind of emerging. And I think it's so good that we've got someone who is, what, 23? Yeah,
yeah. What is he 24 now? I think, but like he's like still very. Oh no, you're right. He's 23.
You know,
24 in September.
So you know, to have someone like that who just, I know people want. I know a lot of people like having a leader who is going to shout at people and point like Neil Kilkenny does, and
no one can point like Neil.
Kilkenny. Oh, no one can point like Neil Kilkenny can. But I'm trying to remember who it was now. I think it was Redfern was on Radio Leeds saying, "Well, if I'm stood on the touchline ranting and raving at people, what confidence will the players have in me after having spent a week preparing for this?"
Mm.
And I kind of get that with captains as well, that there's just a, no, I don't need to scream at you. You all know what you're doing, and I'm going to make sure I know what I'm doing. And by me doing my job, you guys will all feel better for it.
Yeah, it is more of a lead by example thing, because I say all the time, I don't think it matters that much, but I think it helps if they have calm and collected. It's not like cricket where the captain's making loads of tactical decisions in game and it really matters who it is.
Hmm.
I don't think it matters that much in this, but Ampadu has been just fantastic. When I look through the sides of the hole, like basically when you go through the entirety of it, I don't think anyone had a bad game. Like Somerville wasn't quite at his best again, but he was fine. Probably same for Routere. Thought Bamford did well. Thought Nonto was good. Gruev was just tidy. Glenn Kamara, I thought, was improved. Especially first, I thought he was a lot better in this game. Then, obviously, Roden was good. Gray was good. Verba was good. Conor Roberts, when he came on and seemingly played number 10 for a bit at the end of the game, was good. Byron wasn't on long enough to do much, and you couldn't really judge James or Joseph in that situation. But it's just now when it, like there was, they didn't pick the team that I wanted for this game. I thought Roberts deserved to stay in. I thought you'd probably move Gray into midfield. But the difference with the way our squad's playing is at the minute, I read the team and went, oh, that's not what I'd have done. Still happy with that though. Good, it's a good team. And that's the situation we're in now. There's 16 players that you could start and no one's going to really say anything other than, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of look to, I know December was obviously the rough patch for us, but you also had that period of not really having many options on the bench, that you were, there was still always two or three players out, and it was typically players that wouldn't have been starting. But it just meant when it came to making changes in the game that we were just, you just didn't really have anyone there. And you were quite reliant on, you know, Matteo Joseph coming off the bench for 10 minutes to try, or Bamford coming off, who wasn't quite fully fit yet. You know, so it's quite nice now when you're looking at that you've got this, that you've now actually got a full squad available, and decent options on the bench. I think they are a touch one-dimensional side in terms of the options you have, but I think most teams in the Championship would absolutely snap your arm off for Somerville, Nonto, James, and Anthony as your options.
Yeah. There are other wingers in the league that are in the bracket with them, but I don't think anyone's got four better than us.
No. You know,
like Leicester have got Mavadidi and Fatawu, and they're both excellent. But I'm not sure they've got four. But, you know, they've also been excellent this season. And we'll get on to them now. We'll do it in order of amount we'll have to say. Sunderland gave us a chance by getting back to 2-2 away at Southampton, but in the end they lost 4-2. And by the sounds of it, defensively, it was pretty appalling. Because I've seen plenty of Sunderland fans going mad, but truth is, I haven't even seen the highlights of that one. Whereas the Hull and Leicester game, I actually did watch. I only half watched it because I was working at the same time. But Hull were every bit of a match for Leicester and probably were marginally the better side. Both teams were taking a lot of really big chances in possession, and you did keep watching it thinking, if either team was pressing like really well, they might get six here. Because it was really cutting it close. But they, I thought Hull were pretty good in this game. It sort of went back and forth. Obviously, Carvalho missed a, God, I called him Pedro Carvalho, who I think plays for like hashtag United. Fabio Carvalho. I think that he missed a penalty early on that was a like really shit penalty. But a 2-2 draw was, you know, enough to make us really happy. It takes us to only 3 points behind Leicester, and they've only won one of the last five now. I still to this day don't really care if we win the league or not, but it's impossible to say that we're not in the title race now. Because we are.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think it will probably help distract from being chased by Southampton and Ipswich, that we still have something above us to aim for now.
Something to chase ourselves.
Yeah. I think that'll be a big help for us, because I think you're now looking at this situation where I said to you last night, God, I hope Leicester get to the FA Cup final. I wish them every success in the FA Cup at this point.
Extra time in every game as well.
I want them to have an absolute slog out of every game in the FA Cup now, and to win it 1-0 in the last minute.
The final where you lose 1-0.
Yeah,
it depends. Suppose if you get there, it depends who you're playing. Might well want you to win. We'll see.
But you look back now at the comments made in the build-up and after our game against Leicester, and you just think, you've really misread this situation, haven't you? To one, be so bold as to say, for us, this game is just another game. To them, it is everything. To then lose after that and say, I have to wonder about the mental toughness of my own plays. And you're like,
I must admit, that's the thing that we say. I think I said it on here after that game. That was the stuff before the game. I don't really think too much about. That's that. They are mentally stronger than us. It was a bit Lampard, I thought.
That's exactly the term I was thinking of. It was a bit Lampard. And you look at the form they're in now. And, you know, with that squad, if they turned around and won the next seven, it wouldn't shock you. But
I still think Leicester will win the league. I still think they will. But it's not a sure thing. And I mean, it was a sure thing a couple of months ago. They're still 1-12 to be in the top two, 1-20 to get promoted, 4-9 to win the league with Leeds 5-2. By the way, if any of my fellow pessimists out there are wondering, you might even be able to get a bigger price from this if you shop around, but SkyBet are 7-2 that Leeds don't get promoted now. The prices are getting to that point where, I mean, it's first day of Cheltenham today. If anyone out there is lucky enough and they won £126.40, maybe £6.40 of it goes over there. The promotion season under Bielsa, by the end of it, it was like, I was due something like £4,000 if Leeds didn't go up, and I've never wanted money less. And half the office was doing the same because we're all Leeds fans. But it was a good result to see Leicester drop further points, but the better result. And I had got to the stage of saying, with Ipswich, you cannot keep calling these late goals lucky, because they're doing it that often that it isn't lucky. They just keep going and they're fit and they have true belief. But if they were getting lucky, then the pendulum swung back. because they were 1-0 up away at Cardiff after 94 and a half minutes and lost 2-1.
Yay.
I didn't watch this game specifically because I was working, and I knew if I watched this game, I wouldn't do my job. I would have just watched the game and stopped paying any attention. But I flicked it on at the equaliser and saw the winner. And may or may not have jumped around my living room a little bit.
They have been so frustrating with the amount of late goals they get. I think I cursed it last week when I was looking through the championship assists, and I saw Leif Davis there and went, huh, he's not scored yet this season. Yeah. And then there he was.
89th minute winner.
Yeah. So, yeah, fantastic to see it finally happen to them. I bear them no ill will. It's just really frustrating going into the last 5 minutes of a game going, surely not this week.
Yeah, it depends what you mean by ill will. If the ill will of I hope they don't win another game this season. I do wish that.
Yeah, if you
lads want to come up through the playoffs, that's fine. There's the top four teams in this league, and they are all good enough to go up, and we'll see what happens. But like, I hope that Southampton and Leicester and Ipswich don't win another game this season, please.
I mean, at this point, there's going to be the horrible part for whichever team ends up in the playoffs, because I'm really starting to think Hull are going to win the playoffs at the rate they're
going. we were on about that before, because whoever's in the playoffs, whichever two teams it is from the ones actually chasing automatic promotion, you do feel like neither one of them is going to win the playoffs, whichever two of the four it is, because that's what the championship is. That's what the championship does every year.
This was
such a massive turnaround. 95th and 100th minute. Callum O'Dowd as well, who Leeds fans' main memory of him will be getting double nutmegged by Pablo Hernandez on the opening day of the promotion season. But it puts us 1 point ahead of Ipswich with like a 15 better goal difference. Like, we are properly driving seat position now to go for this.
Yeah.
As I said, the odds being now 1-6 that Leeds get promoted, even someone who's as pessimistic as me can't look at that and say anything other than from this position, we probably should. It won't be easy, but in the situation we're in, you can't say anything other than we should from this position. It doesn't mean we will, but we should.
Yeah, I mean, we've still got, obviously, Southampton have a game in hand after their midweek game got postponed.
Mm.
So, again, if they could do us a favour and lose that, and then it's 6 points, which at this point just takes us to lose and them to win to bring it all back into contention. So, but any sort of gap we can put between them and Ipswich,
yeah,
would be fantastic.
That's the thing, looking at it, that there's so little room for error this year for any of them. I cannot believe how tight it is. I can't believe how tight it is, and the bottom is even tighter.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm looking at Ipswich's run-in, and I know we did a thing about the run-in a few weeks ago, but the 1st of April, they play Southampton.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I want a draw.
Yeah, and we'll be watching that game as well, because the 1st, is that Easter Monday?
No, it is.
Because we play at 8 o'clock. because our Good Friday and Easter Monday games are both 8 o'clock. So we will we'll know going in what has happened. Because basically we've had to do this podcast 5 minutes after I finished work, and I haven't got that long. So we're going to jump back on Friday and to talk about the Millwall game, but we will sit now. Because Leicester aren't playing, if we were to beat Millwall by 2 goals, we go top of the league.
Fucking Millwall.
And God, I hope we can do... I mean, obviously, any 3 points will do. If it's 1-0 off someone's arse in the night, whatever, as long as you win. But I do wonder if it could psychologically be very big for us to get to the top of the league, even if Leicester have got a game in hand.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Neil Harris is back in charge there, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's going to be... I know we'll get into it on Friday.
They've won like 3 of the last 5. They have very much improved since he came in. They're only 5 points above relegation zone as well, so it's not like they're mid-table and nothing to play for.
He will get them up for that one.
They will be well up for this.
Yeah, the bottom end of the championship is something quite special at the moment when you can be... You know, the first Premiership year or Premier League year when we were back up and people were paranoid that we were going to get sucked into a relegation battle despite being 10th.
When we had like 10 games left and we're on 34 points.
Yeah. I'm worried about people then. If you're Watford in 14th, I know that's 45 points. But I wouldn't be entirely confident.
Yeah. I am 100% confident that Watford will be fine, but I bet if I was a Watford fan, I wouldn't be.
No.
Like, that's where the difference is. Although they have just... they've sacked the manager and put Tom Cleverley in charge just to make us all feel really old again.
Yeah.
I'm just having a glance for Saturday. We'll talk about it more at the time, but Ipswich are at home to Chef Wednesday, so having... I wanted nothing to do with you on Friday and wished ill upon you. Come on, Chef Wednesday. And there's no Southampton game either, is there? Because this is the game that was meant to be Southampton-Leicester.
Hmm.
But because they're still in the FA Cup.
God bless fixture congestion.
Yeah. So it's going to be a tough... And it'll be another tough game, but we'll talk about it more properly on Friday. So last thing is, Casey, right now, bookies of us 1-6.
Hmm.
Are you more or less confident than that? And more importantly, by how much? Because I think I know what the answer is.
Oh, mate, it pissed the league now.
HMS.
It's back on.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that we should be odds on for promotion, but 1-6 feels short. That feels like a really short price.
Yeah, traditionally, Leeds have never been a team to make it easy for themselves. So, I don't know. It's really weird because we've said this, that I look at all the remaining fixtures, bar Southampton on the last day, and I look and just think we probably should beat them. I know we won't beat them all, but we probably should.
Yeah. You have like, well, they've just, you go on a run like they've done. I mean, what was it? It was 9 wins in a row and then a draw and then won 2 cents.
Yeah.
Like, if you win 12 out of 13 and draw the other, you have, even the most Leedsiest of Leeds fans that's like, no, it's all going to go wrong, it's all going to explode, even they have to be like, oh, we're playing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, again, we play Hull on Easter Monday, and that will be a tough game.
Yeah,
I still think
admit, I was pretty impressed with Hull when I watched them against Leicester. They played some really nice football. Carvalho does stand out. He isn't consistent yet, but he shouldn't be in the Championship. He's definitely better than that.
They got off to a steady start and have been top half for most of the season, I think. But this last month or so, they've really just hit another level.
Yeah, well, they brought in Carvalho. They also brought in that Giles from Luton that we were linked with. And I mean, they've got, although he isn't exactly what he was, I mean, they've got Jean-Michel Seri in midfield, who was being linked with 85 million moves to Barcelona and stuff not all that many years ago. It's like 5 years ago. Like, it's a... he's a hell of a player. They've got a really good team, and it's just taken him a while to get going. But
And Billy Sharp.
Oh, yeah, they have got Billy Sharp. You know, something that I didn't realise while I was watching that game. Hull made no subs. Just weird one. You don't see it very often.
I've seen lots of late subs.
Yeah. That will do us for episode 255. We'll also say happy birthday to Archie Gray. He's 18. That does still leave him alone, everyone else.
Yeah.
Let him get on with his job. We will be back on Friday. This one's been fairly short. The one on Friday will also probably be pretty short, but we'll probably do it in the afternoon, because in theory the press conference will be like sort of half one, 2 o'clock-ish on Friday. So we'll probably do it after that.
Yeah, hello. It's Daniel Farker with the official Leeds United podcast.
Mm. See, that's the problem. That's not a terrible impression. But the doing an impression of Daniel Fark Market has kind of been cornered.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe do Bates as well, because, oh, no way, that's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, that will do us. We really needed that win. We got it. And that just is every game now, isn't it? You've got so little you can add. It's not, oh, well, this one. It's not like when you're really like, look, we're not going to win this one. You need to focus on that one. This is just every game. You have to win it. And if you end up on 98 points and don't go up, you just have to knock and say, well played.
Enjoy the championship again next season.
But yeah, that'll do us. So I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.